Hello and welcome to Drink Discussion Episode 3. My name's Jason.
I'm Kieran.
And yeah, Episode 3.
Yes, and I think the most interesting thing about this is this is actually a week from the recording of our first episode, and you are still not yet a father.
No, I'm still not a father yet.
No, I really thought it would have happened by now.
I know, maybe we just won't tell people how far along my wife is. And they'll just have to keep guessing. Still,
true.
Episode 50, still not a father.
Yes, except, like, what if your future child goes back and listens to these and goes like, Dad, why didn't you think of me as your child? Why didn't you feel like a father yet? And then you can say something like, I hadn't earned it yet.
Yeah, I hadn't earned my scout badge. I hadn't been officially sworn in as the father.
I mean, personally, I'm hoping that the process of labor for your wife starts in the next, 45 minutes so that it can make a very exciting episode of the podcast. You know how they, name all the Friends episodes?
Yeah.
The one with this, the one with the baby.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that we will be having a few drinks to try today, and neither one of us would be able to drive that far, most likely.
Yeah. Where were you born?
Casino.
Like,
not in a casino. Oh, okay. Not in just before you go down. I wasn't born on a baccarat table and they rolled snake eyes and I popped up or something like that. Or is it sevens you meant to get?
I don't think dice are involved in baccarat.
Oh, I don't know how
that's craps.
Oh, no wonder I always lose my money.
I mean, if there was craps on the table, then
yeah,
it's
yeah, there you go. Well, some snake eyes were rolled when I was born.
Oh.
Yeah, no, New South Wales.
Oh,
the
yeah.
town.
I always thought casino was in, Queensland, that's it.
Well, it's not far from Queensland.
Oh, okay.
It's not far. It's where the Purple Wiggle was born, though.
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wake up, Jeff.
Oh, well, interestingly, I once got to go backstage and meet the Wiggles.
Ooh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, so my aunt knew, and I think she still does know, Captain Feathersword.
Ooh.
So when the Wiggles went on tour and they were up in Whyalla, and we happened to be in Whyalla, yeah, we got to go backstage and meet the Wiggles, and somewhere, it was an old camera, a film camera. You remember those?
Oh, what? Like the ones that you'd have to clip out and put a tape in, that sort of film camera?
Yes, the actual film, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, we've got one of those printed photos of, like, me as a 7-year-old with, like, the OG Wiggles.
Whoa,
yeah.
Original Wiggles.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that, are you going to raise your kid on the new Wiggles?
I don't know. I think it's just going to be Netflix. Change it over to kids, and if Yu-Gi-Oh is on, that's what they're watching.
Oh, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's what I'll be watching until they're more capable of actually focusing. not 2 weeks old. Come on, get into Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, I guess you got to wonder how much does that imprint on your child's brain. Like,
I guess,
like if you show them Yu-Gi-Oh up until like maybe they're like 1.5, and then never show it again. And then, like, just occasionally drop references. Like, I don't know anything about Yu-Gi-Oh, but I do know it's time to duel.
Yeah.
And, like, just, like, say stuff like that and see, like, how they react. Maybe they'll go into, like, a trance and it'll unlock some kind of secret power.
Yeah, maybe. Not just as long as they don't go into, like, a fit or something and just, like, turn into some exorcist situation.
I guess you should probably always want that to not happen to your child.
Maybe further in life, like, if the child is really annoying me and I want to ground them, I can just be like, it's time to duel, and then send them to their room and then I win because I'm the adult.
What an interesting parenting strategy.
Yeah,
that is. Let's see how effective it is. I'll just calmly wait 10 years.
10 years from now, it did not work out.
Well, shall we get into our first wine for today?
Yes. So, for those listening, we are trying wine today. So, we're switching it up. Now, I've got us three slightly different wines to try.
I guess that's the point. And, this is drink discussion, not beer discussion. We've done 2 beer episodes.
Yeah, and now we're on to wine. It's not going to be wine discussion.
No.
But, I mean, look, it could be. If we wanted it to be.
It could be having a wine and having a wine.
Yeah. We could have a wine and more wine.
Yeah.
Which is multiple bottles.
What's our first wine for today?
Okay, well, first of all, so the first wine is from Chapel Hill in McLaren Vale.
Lovely.
It's a very, very fancy looking bottle. Now, I'd like to have a special shout out here to a gentleman named Ted at Dan Murphy's who helped me pick this out.
Okay.
I asked for a South Australian bottle of Chardonnay and he came straight to me and they were very helpful.
I do love a Chardonnay. I love the McLaren Vale.
Yeah.
McLaren
Vale. Not McLaren Vale. The. Specifically the.
Well, let's put it this way. I work in 2 of the 3 states' biggest wine regions.
Yeah.
The Clare Valley and the Barossa. And look, I've had people from both of them say this to me, that the McLaren Vale is the best one.
Ooh, well.
But
well,
they said it to me in confidence. I'm not going to say who they are.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to reveal your sources. No, I don't. This is news now.
Look, this is world shattering. And I think, if they know, sometimes it's okay to know that you're second or third.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Hey, you're still on the podium.
Yeah.
You're not the Coonawarra or Adelaide Hills.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of the Coonawarra ones.
I don't think I've had them.
Yeah, they're. I don't know.
We can save that for another wine.
Yeah, we can have that another
wine
time.
Wine discussion. Drink discussion.
Drink discussion. Wine discussion. Whatever you want to call it, but we're having drinks.
All right. Well, shall we crack this bottle open?
Yeah.
Let's see if it can be heard by the microphone.
Let's see if we can.
Quite loud.
Now, we're meant to let these aerate a little bit. He did say that it's good to let it air out. So we'll pour some in our glasses, then I'll give you a couple of facts about the business.
All right.
There we go. Oh, there's
one solid pour.
And two solid pours.
All right. So while this is breathing a little, tell me a little bit about Chapel Hill. I think this is one of the few wineries in the McLaren Vale I haven't been to.
Yeah. Well, apparently started in 1972.
Mm.
So they bought, funnily enough, an old chapel.
Pretty sure that's when Led Zeppelin 4 came out.
There you go. Yeah. So apparently a very good year.
Yeah, Stairway to Heaven's on that album. Great.
Well, there you go. More music facts as well,
and
guys.
And heaven, that's got something to do with a chapel.
Yeah, and well, on the front is definitely looks like you're going to heaven.
Mm.
But anyway, they started in 1972 from an old disused church. They bought the church, the first vintage was produced in 1975. So they have 22 red wines, 4 white wines, 2 fortified wines, 1 rosé that you can try. And according to their website, you can even get a picnic rug.
Oh!
So you've got wine and picnic rugs.
But do they mean like you can borrow a picnic rug to enjoy their nice hills, or like
you can buy a Chapel Hill picnic rug?
That's awesome.
So if you really like this wine, you can get the matching picnic rug to go with it. It's like an infomercial, isn't it? Yeah. I'll sell you this wine, and in the first 10 minutes, if you call, you can have the picnic rug for $5.
You know what? As long as we don't give out a number, I don't think we're false advertising.
Yeah, so exactly.
Right. I don't think there's enough rug-based merchandise.
No, there isn't. There really isn't.
You know what? I've been actually looking for a rug for my studio, where I, you know, jam out and play guitars and stuff.
Yeah.
I want a round rug. All right. Ooh. Now, I want a round rug with the symbol of the Galactic Empire on it. You'd think that with all the Star Wars merch out there...
There would be that.
There is not.
How?
I don't know. Disney, please make me an Empire rug. All right? The Emperor himself would probably, you know, have a rug like that in his, you know, Sith-ish...
In his bathroom or something?
Bathroom? No, you don't want a rug in the bathroom.
Well, you get the bath mats.
Yeah, but that's a... Okay, that's different to a rug.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm clearly using rugs very wrong.
But no, look, I think if they make a rug, picnic blanket, whatever, it's great. You know, I once got a blanket from a Foo Fighters concert.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters sold blankets.
Yeah. And, you know...
Was it just a big picture of Dave Grohl's face?
No, it's like a UFO sort of thing with the Foo Fighters. It's red and white. It's really nice. But you know what? For a cold outdoor concert in Hindmarsh Stadium, it was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm glad we had the rug.
Well, there you go. Well, now that this is aerated a little bit, let's give it a whirl.
Ooh, that's smooth.
That is very nice. Very, very nice.
I like the way it flows from the glass over the tongue into the throat. Just seamless transition.
And we're still talking about wine here, just to...
Oh, yes, thank you. But you know what? I just realized we didn't smell this before. You know,
we're meant to smell the wine, aren't we?
I mean, look...
We're not quite wine connoisseurs, but we're wine enjoyers.
And honestly, I'm not even the best smeller. There was a gas leak in my house, and I was the last to notice it, and I was home on school holidays at the time, and it was like, someone was like, do you smell gas? I was like, no. I was like, there's a lot of gas in here. Oh, okay.
I was very sleepy, but I don't know why.
Well, you know, when they were like, hey, COVID, you know, may lead to a loss of taste or smell. And it's like, well, I'll be able to tell the loss of taste, but like, how will I be able to tell if I can't smell anything? Because the amount of times that someone's like, can you smell that?
And you're like, no.
Yeah, I can't smell that.
No.
Just assume that I can't smell that. If I say, can you, well, I should never ask anyone if they can smell that, because they probably can. By the time I've smelt it. You know.
They might have already smelt it. Like, come on, Kieran, get with the times. We smelt that 5 minutes ago, mate.
Mm. I
really hope you don't, like, walk into a shop to try perfumes at, like, Myer or David Jones, and you're just like, I don't know what to pick. Like, do you, how does it work
for
you?
Oh, no, actually, I know. Well, see, perfume is very strong, and you're usually putting it right on your nose.
You meant to like, smell it. You're not meant to put it on your nose or up your nostril.
Like the little cardboard thing
that you want to smell. Oh, okay. You wave that around.
And look, no, I think I have a good taste in fragrance. My wedding cologne was Man in Black by Bulgari.
Ooh, which is, nice.
Is rather nice. It's got a nice smoky whiskey-like
smell. Oh, lovely. Yeah. I've got a really nice orange one by Serge Latons. It's a French brand. It's like...
Ooh.
It's very good.
Yeah,
no, I very much like it, but I don't like to use it too much because I'm like, I don't want to waste it.
Have they discontinued it or is it still
available? Well, I think it's discontinued in the shop that you can buy it from here in South Australia, but...
So
I don't use it too... I only use it for very special occasions.
I used to have a cologne which was... Calvin Klein, it was either Attitude or Altitude. Actually, I've still got it. And it opened like one of those like old Zippo lighters.
Oh, nice.
Flick over the top. They stopped making that.
Ah,
it was great though. I've still got the bottle and I'm like very hesitant. Like, I know I've got like, there's stuff left in there. There's probably like a quarter of a bottle left. I'm hesitant because it's like, once this is done, this could be like...
It's done.
Who knows if they're ever going to bring it
back?
That's
right.
But
well, let's go back to the wine. Yeah. It's very smooth.
It's very drinkable.
Ted said it would get better... the more it aerates and as it cools down, you start to taste the flavors and I'm getting flavors out of it, but it's so smooth. I don't know how to describe it.
You know, sometimes you get a red wine, you get those little twinge in your cheeks and it feels a bit sweet and it's got a bit of bitter of this.
Yeah.
This has nothing of that. This is kind of, I feel like this would pair well with anything that you're meant to have white wine with.
Yeah, like a pasta. Sorry, I say pasta wrong.
Oh my God, are you British? Are you secretly British?
Well, my mum is.
Oh.
So that's where I learnt it from.
Oh, pasta.
Pasta.
What other Britishisms do you have?
I can't think of anything. I say rude words that are English, like bollocks or...
Oh.
Get stuffed or fucking hell. Gets real British when I say fucking hell.
Okay, yeah, that is it. That does sound pretty British. Yeah.
Now, we are getting a little bit off topic now. So, apparently, it has a more layered and textured palate... while still maintaining the trademark variety of citrus and stone fruit purity. So it's a churchy wine, so it's very pure stone fruit.
Mm. And let he who has not sinned cast the first stone fruit.
Yeah. And
or
he
whatever
who,
it was.
And he who has sinned gets to drink.
I don't know. I don't... I'm not really the most religious person ever.
I don't Bible.
Wow, I'm using that in the future.
Sorry, I don't Bible.
Yeah, that's great. I'm not sure if there is a God, but the jury is out on the Force. I regularly try to use the Force. I haven't been successful.
Yep.
But like, it seems to work on doors at supermarkets.
Yeah.
I can open them every time.
So can I.
Doors at home?
No.
No, never.
No. I smashed a few windows.
Wasn't that you just mowing the lawn badly?
Yes, I did mow the lawn very badly and a rock flung through the front window and that cost a bit of money. But it's fine. It's fixed now. It's fine.
Yeah, I once thought it was fun in my parents' front yard to play around with a brass high-pressure nozzle for a hose and decided to just yeet that through the window.
Hey, Mum, Dad, yeet!
Yes, this was pre-yeet as well. So
pre-yeet, so you're very early.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm a trendsetter.
Like Neolithic... yeeting.
That would be a great band name.
Yeah, we're the Neolithic Yeeters.
The Neolithic
Yeeters. Say that 10 times real fast.
I'd rather not. But you can read out all those notes on the bottle again, but honestly, it's just so smooth. It reminds me of... It's the wine equivalent of a good scotch. It's the wine equivalent of... You know when you get like a really nice sauce on something?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a sauce that's too thin or a sauce that's too thick.
Yeah.
This sauce is just right.
Oh, yeah.
This
it's 100% just right.
This is the Goldilocks, you know? It's not too much, not too...
You know what? Funnily enough, I think this would go really well with like a burger and chips. I don't know why, just like a pub burger, like the really big ones with like steak cut size chips. I don't know, I just feel like if you wanted... You don't want beer, you don't want cider, you just want a light wine... I feel like this is the way to go.
Well, speaking of light, what's its alcohol content?
It doesn't have one. Oh, no, sorry, here it is.
Oh, here we go.
It's 12.5%.
And what's the standard drinks?
7.4 standard drinks.
All right, and there's probably, what, 7 glasses in the bottle?
Yeah, well, that's 7.4 standard drinks. That's how they pretty much would...
So, yeah, 1.2 something
per glass.
Per glass, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So that's Chapel Hill.
I feel like this wine, as good as it is a little dangerous.
It is, because it's very easy drinking.
Well, can you remember at your Broby shower how I just cleaned up my own bottle of Chardonnay?
You yeeted a bottle of Chardonnay.
Down my gullet.
Yes.
I mean, that is good. That Chardonnay is nice. This Chardonnay is nicer.
Well, there you go. You have it, guys. Whatever. You don't know what the other Chardonnay was, but you know that the Chapel Hill Chardonnay
That was a drink better. I got from work.
Adding
to the mystery of where does Kieran work and what exactly does he do? And, you know, I did identify I am a human male.
Yes, I'm also a human male.
Cool.
And that's where we'll leave it.
Yeah, we're definitely humans.
Definitely. Well, talking of humans, do you want a little fact about wine?
Yeah, sure. Hit me up.
Most corks originate from Portugal's cork forests.
Portugal?
Yeah. So they're actually trees. So they're cork trees, and they peel the bark off of them, and that's how you make cork. But they're obviously declining in popularity now because of screw caps and synthetic corks.
But that's a good thing, because I was under the impression at some point that cork was a bit endangered as a tree species.
Yeah.
We were drinking our wine too fast. We need to let it sit in those corked bottles so that
for a bit longer.
We don't use too much cork.
But yeah, so there's cork forests all over Portugal, which I knew years ago, but I just always found it fascinating that a cork, like, it wasn't just synthetic or made up. It's like, it's actually from a tree.
Well, I always thought that cork was from Cork in Ireland.
I mean, that would make sense.
I mean, they might have cork there too.
Well, they do definitely have a place called Cork.
We have established that, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Also, there are around 1,300 varieties of grape that are used to produce wine.
That is a lot of grape. Although I did know there were a lot of varieties.
There was a
winery that I went to in the McLaren Vale.
Yep.
And
just remember, the McLaren Vale.
Well, I feel like saying in McLaren Vale.
Yeah.
In the McLaren Vale. It just sounds like, you know, it's kind of like
a bit more classy.
You're kind of meant to call, you know, the country next to Russia.
Poland?
No, that's at least one removed.
Lithuania?
That's also one removed.
Bulgaria?
That is two, three removed.
Georgia.
Four. No, they share a border, but no.
Mongolia.
They share a border, but...
North Korea?
They do share 7 kilometers.
China.
No, not that one.
Okay, I've named all the ones I can think of. Latvia.
Used to be part of the Soviet Union, but one country removed.
You are not making this easy.
No, there's a country that... I want you to say its name so I can add that to it, and you'll see how much better it sounds.
Greece? No, that's not far further away. They're
way too far, yeah.
Sweden, Finland...
Finland shares a border, but no.
Norway.
No.
Okay, I've run out of countries.
The Ukraine.
Oh, for Pete's sake. That's so annoying.
Yeah, the place that Russia keeps invading. Yeah.
Yeah, and the one that...
I'm pretty sure it is actually, like, the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Right, it's not Ukraine, it is the Ukraine. You don't want to get it confused with, like, you know, unofficial Ukraine.
Yeah, no. We are the unofficial Ukraine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the past that Russia invaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shall we move on to the next wine?
Why don't we? So what is our next wine, Jason?
Well, our next wine is a Shiraz from Tread Softly here in South Australia.
Tread Softly?
Mm, although the back of the bottle says that it's bottled for a company interstate. So... I'm not 100% sure, but from what I can see, it is a South Australian wine.
It might say on the back, it might have the origins of the grape, because I'm pretty sure when it comes to wine, as long as your grapes and the sort of storage in the barrel and the actual sort of winemaking process happens in one location, it doesn't matter where it's bottled, because I'm pretty sure they put it in, like, you know, one of those fuel tankers, but
yeah,
wine, and just take it somewhere to put in bottles.
But it's a very simple label.
Oh,
it's got a ladybug on the front. So
you don't want to tread on that.
No, we don't. Well, we don't want to tread on that. We don't want to even go anywhere near that at all.
What? Why?
Well, it's a dangerous ladybug.
Oh.
Yeah, it's on a bottle. That's good enough for me.
Okay.
But anyway, what I do like about this one is this company reduces their carbon footprint by employing more efficient production practices, and they plant an Australian native tree for every dozen sold.
Wow.
So they've planted 180,000 trees so far.
As great as that is, I think it says that people are drinking too much wine.
Yes, it does.
And we're going to contribute to that statistic, aren't we?
Yeah, that 180,000 was probably just from last year.
That's great. I'm glad that they're doing something.
Yeah.
You know, especially at the corporation level, that does so much.
Yeah. Well, on top of that, they also have a sustainability lifestyle blog on their website, which has 5 tips for less plastic use in your life.
Well, I'm glad that we're not using plastic glasses right now.
No, we're not. We're not using the old plastic cup. We're not using the big red cup that we use for beer pong.
Yeah.
We're on to the red. So let's crack this one.
Hey, you know what? If you'd like us to do a beer pong episode, ask for it in the comments, and then eventually one day we will do one. Like, we're going to do one. Like, let's just put it out there, but we want you to ask for it.
Yeah, we know that you want it.
Maybe we can do a beer pong where it's like, you know, just the two of us versus like, you know, as we said, we will get guests in the future.
Yeah.
Like, our 6 most, like, favorite guests, we get them on a beer pong team against us. And, like, we're going to have to train.
Yeah, we're going to have to train.
We're going to have to do a Rocky montage.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. That's how it goes. We're doing a montage.
Or, no? Or we could do the montage song from Team America.
Which one's that one?
Even Rocky had a montage. Montage!
All right, let's crack this open. Let's see if we can... Oh,
that's a crack. And I do like that they've extended their label onto the lid. Actually, yeah. You know, it's a common thing, but they put some nice flowers there.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Let's pour that.
Oh, now it's a nice deep red color, you know, as you would expect from a Shiraz.
But it's not coming out thick. You know, when you see some Shirazes come out, it looks like a syrup.
Yeah, this one is, well, it's definitely a liquid, but, you know, it's not, it's definitely not as thick. It's not terribly viscous. I'm going to swirl it around the glass.
Yeah, give it a bit of aeration.
It's sticking to the sides a little. I think that's a good sign. You know, it just kind of hangs there in the way that bricks don't.
Mm. Well, apparently it has a delicate aroma and it has minimal preservatives in it as well. And it's 10.8% alcohol.
Does it contain sulfites?
I believe it probably does.
Okay.
It doesn't say specifically that it doesn't. Yeah, so this company has 5 reds, 7 whites, and I put 2 reds, but I think I was meant to put 2 rosés. So it's 5 reds, 2 whites, 7 whites, and 2 rosés.
Well, if they don't make 2 rosés, they can just put their reds and whites in the one barrel until it
makes... And then just make a mixture. And
for the people out there, I know that's not how you make a rosé.
I don't know how you make a rosé.
Oh, basically, you just use, like, use the white grapes.
Yeah.
And then you add, like, the red grape skin that's already been crushed.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, more facts, and we didn't even realize we were getting to that.
Although, you know, someone's going to prove me wrong someday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm already afraid that some Ukrainian's going to go, no, it's not the Ukraine, it's...
La Ukraine.
That would be France. La France.
No, maybe it's the France and La Ukraine.
Well, look, Europe might have been pulling one over us this whole time. Now, it does have a delicate aroma. Some reds can really beat you over the head.
Yeah.
And
almost like the pineapple to the face like the other week.
Oh, yes. Good to see you've recovered.
Yeah, I have recovered quite well from the pineapple attack.
But you can see how it's just sticking to the side of the glass. And
so it's quite nice. Let's give it a whirl, shall we?
Yes. Smoky.
Mmm. But smoky, but thin.
Yeah.
It's not... It really isn't thick. It's very thin.
Thin is a good word. I was going to say watered down, but that has negative implications. I don't think it's watered down. It's definitely...
Yeah, I'm going to stick with thin. It's very thin.
It's not heavy.
Mmm. Definitely not heavy.
But I think that's the first thing that comes to my palate is the smoky. Now, I know, Jason, that you don't partake in meat, but
no,
I think that this would go well with a steak.
It probably would. Even cooking, actually, I think this would be a good cooking wine. So if you had some and you forgot to finish the bottle, which we've all done sometimes, you have a couple of glasses and you get to the bottom, you've got 1 or 2 glasses.
I've never done that.
Okay, well, Kieran's never done that, but I sometimes forget.
I commit to a bottle. I'm a commitment man.
Well...
I commit to this podcast.
I commit to finishing a bottle, but whether it's in the same session is another story, and whether it's in the same method is another story.
Look,
as well.
Once you've opened a bottle, you've got to finish it. That's why, you know, people drink little bits of vodka and a little bit of scotch. It only turns to alcohol if you leave it open. That's how it goes bad and becomes alcoholic. You're nice to just drink it.
So you only take a little bit of vodka out, put it in a glass, and then seal it back up, and it's still water, is what you're saying. So it turns into vodka as it pours into the glass.
Well, no. It's if you once you've opened it, you have to finish it that day. Otherwise, it goes bad, and that's how it becomes alcohol. You've got to just drink the vodka for the flavor.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Kieran's specialised facts.
And if anyone knows which American comedy show I'm referencing with that, leave it in the comments.
Oh,
I'm telling people to leave a lot of things. Yeah. I'm really assuming that we have listeners.
Yeah, we might not have any listeners, but this is still fun regardless anyway. Now,
I want to bring it back to the point you made about a cooking wine, because I feel like there's two philosophies on cooking wine, and I've heard both of them, which is like, you know, you can cook with any wine, or you can cook with, you should only ever cook with a wine that you would drink. Don't cook with a wine you wouldn't drink. Don't cook with a bad wine. That being said, I've like had wine and gone like, ugh, and then, you know, thrown it in a pasta sauce and it's been great.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I think maybe what that winery was missing was like, hey, have you tried burning your wine?
Yeah. It's like, just throw it up. I've tried out your wine. Not that great. But in food, maybe you should just start burning your stuff.
Yeah, just like boil it lightly in a pan and then like let it cool and put it in the bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll taste better.
That maybe cooking that would probably cook off the alcohol.
Yeah, and if you could just chuck some tortellini in the bottle with it as well, then I've already got pre-made sauce, so we're good to go.
Yeah. Just in fact, stop being a winery, become a sorcery.
It's a sorcery.
I'm sure that's the proper term.
But not the magic kind. We want the wine kind.
But this is really good. I think similar to the last wine, it's quite drinkable.
Mm.
Dangerously drinkable. I could see myself polishing off a bottle of this by myself before I knew what I've done.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I mean, you don't even need a glass.
No, and you're right. It doesn't really streak off of the glass on the sides until it's sat there for a bit. Like it stays.
It and you know what? It's got staying power on my palate.
Mm. It's like the Omo of wine.
Well, that's stain remover.
Yeah, but Omo gets rid of the stains. This keeps them.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's the opposite of Omo.
Yeah. I think you really need to rethink that metaphor.
Yeah, I need to rethink
that. And I'm pretty sure, based off your wife's Instagram, that she does most of the laundry.
Shush. Let's not tell the listeners that. I don't get a chance. I mean, I probably could. I need to do more. I should do more.
I'm the launderer in...
Oh, you're the launderer in your house?
Yes.
Of the money? Let's skip over that, shall we?
No comment. No. I'm definitely not doing this podcast as a tax write-off, that's for sure. But I don't mind doing laundry. I do like those tasks that are kind of set and forget. You know, you put them in and then you wait for the beep.
Yeah.
You can't do much in between. So it's like, it's good if you've got an episode of something to catch up on. It's like, I'm one episode behind. Like, right now I know I've got one episode of Handmaid's Tale I need to catch up on, and I've got one episode of The Bad Batch I need to catch up on.
Yep.
I need to do a load of laundry.
There you go. So I put a load of laundry on and then you can watch a TV show.
Exactly. You know, brilliant. You can do two things at once.
You can. Now, whilst we're still finishing off this glass, I thought I'd share something ridiculous that I saw as a news article today.
Oh, where was this news article published?
Yahoo News. Because that's
a reputable source.
They've moved from answers to news. So
news is just the answer to what's going on.
Yeah, that's right. So whilst we finish this glass, and we should just mention that drink responsibly.
Mm.
We must drink responsibly and only as an adult, depending on what country you're in, wherever you're listening.
Unless you're in that country where alcohol is banned, in which case, break the law.
No, don't break the law. We don't want to get in trouble for that.
You
make your own decisions. We are not liable for any decisions
make your own decisions. And honestly, if we're your role models, you've failed already.
Yeah. We're not quite at that level of role model yet.
No.
But yes, so fun article. Okay. An Italian artist that made an invisible sculpture and has sold it for $23,500.
Right. So it's an invisible sculpture.
Yeah.
So if I went up to it with a bucket of white paint and threw it on it, it would appear.
You would really think that.
Yeah.
But no. He said, and to quote, he said it's made from air and spirit and exists like a vacuum and does not take material form.
This Italian artist has found the world's dumbest person who also happens to have money.
Yeah, and that person has bought it. But it gets so much better. Okay. It gets so much better. So that person who's purchased it has been given a certificate to say that it's real, even though it doesn't exist. So he's been given a certificate to say something is real that doesn't exist. And I'll tell you what, for your listeners, it gets so much better. It still gets better.
I still don't think we've heard how much this guy paid.
Well, yeah, he paid $23,500 for it.
$18,000
Australian?
US. US. $18,000 US. You could buy two brand new cars for that. Like, two low-end brand new cars. But you should buy two brand new cars.
That's a house deposit.
Oh, that is a house deposit. That is...
You can buy a new television and a new couch and a fridge. That is more than some
people in impoverished countries earn in a lifetime.
Yeah.
And this guy has spent it...
on nothing.
On air.
On air. But like I said, it gets...
On special air.
On special air. It gets better. Please. It gets so much better.
I'm glad I didn't read off this screen that's to the left of me.
It's going to be on display in a 1.5 by 1.5 meter box. The invisible sculpture is going on display. Then still gets better. Here we go. It will be in an area where lighting and climate control are not required.
So it can just blow away.
Yeah, so it can blow away. So it's made, it's invisible. It's made from air and spirit. Doesn't take material form. Doesn't technically fucking exist, is on display, and they don't require any special permits or display lighting or climate control to look after it. And the person who's bought it has a certificate to say that it's real, but it ain't.
Okay, okay. But here's the thing, right? I could fart in a box and quickly seal out that box.
Yeah.
The fart will be in there, and we can guarantee there's a fart in there, and that's probably a bit more real.
Yeah, that is literal real, because there is a smell attached to it, so there is some sort of material form air and spirit.
There are gases in there, and beyond your standard atmosphere mix of nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, a bit of hydrogen maybe. What else do we have in here? Like argon?
What's argon? Are we on Lord of the Rings facts now?
No, that's argon. Oh. Argon's in like old school incandescent light bulbs. It's a noble gas, which means it doesn't actually bond with anything else.
Oh, so like helium. So like that's like a metaphor for class separation, right there, isn't it? A noble gas doesn't form with others.
It doesn't. I won't bond with you, carbon. You're too common.
Yes. So that's. I couldn't believe that. I was reading the article and it just got more and more like, "Are you are kidding me? Doesn't exist. Someone bought it. It's on display and doesn't need any special treatment."
It kind of reminds me of, have you ever heard of Vantablack?
No.
Vantablack is a paint, or more specifically a tone of paint, that absorbs like 99.93% of light. So it sort of looks like a void, and it's so incredibly black that it just like, if you painted a cube in that from a distance, it would just look like a solid black square. Like you wouldn't be able to tell it's a three-dimensional object because... Wow. So the way we see things, you know, we see light bouncing off stuff. There's light bouncing off the microphone. We also see that light is being emitted by this computer monitor.
Yeah.
So we see those, but this absorbs light. So black absorbs light, but Vantablack absorbs much more light.
Yeah.
Right? And there's this one artist who is licensed to use it, right? Who is allowed to use Vantablack because it's, you know, so dark by the person who made Vantablack.
Yeah.
So in response, someone else made Vantapink, which is the pinkest pink. And he said that everyone except for the guy who can use Vantablack can use Vantapink.
Wow, and that's petty, and I love it.
I know, I love it too. But it's the kind of stuff that they like paint, you know, I'm not sure if they paint the stealth bomber in it, but they paint stuff with in order to hide it and to mess with.
I mean, that's totally understandable. Well, since we've had that ridiculous news article,
yeah.
And that is my favorite thing of the week, because there's always a new favorite thing. It's not of lifetime. There's always more favorite things.
And there's always more weeks.
But there's more. That's right. There's almost more weeks. Almost more weeks?
I think the wine is getting to us.
The wine is getting to us.
I think that's the appeal of the podcast. We start off all, you know, hey, we've, you know, it's 5 o'clock on a what day is it?
Friday.
Thank you. I mean, yes, I did work today. You know, yeah, it's 5 o'clock on a Friday and we're just, you know, having a regular chat. And then by the end, we're like, yeah, I remember. Do you remember this? Oh, yeah.
Well, like I said earlier, drink responsible.
But this Shiraz was very enjoyable. And when it comes to wine, I've always been more of a fan of whites than reds.
Mm.
And I do like a rosé. But this is a red that I think I would actually actively seek out.
Well, there you go.
This is a red that I would choose to drink over a white.
Mm. So that is Shiraz from Tread Softly.
Yes. Well done. Tread Softly and grab yourself a bottle.
There you go. Dan Murphy's, get on it. Drink number 3.
Mm. I can't wait to hear you pronounce this. I wonder if you've got it right.
It's Infamous Dodger.
Oh, that's not what I was hoping you would pronounce.
I did type in on my notes earlier, and I managed to find it. I nearly typed in a Tempranillo by Infamous Dogger.
Oh, well, you've already said the word I thought you were going to say wrong.
Oh, there you go.
It's Tempranillo. It's Spanish.
Oh.
Two L's like tortilla.
Oh, Tempranillo.
You didn't put the all in there. Tempranillo.
Tempranillo. Well, like, there you go.
You know that sort of rapper R&B artist Neo?
Oh, yeah. Tempranillo.
Yeah,
well,
there you go. Yeah, yeah.
I always said Tempranillo. I'm like very Australian with that. Tempranillo. Yeah, get your Tempranillo in you.
Well, that's a real big swing from your Britishisms earlier with your pasta.
Yeah, pasta to Tempranillo.
Yeah, oh.
I'm just going to crack out my 4X Gold now.
Oh, you know, I like that. We have a special can of 4X Gold. It's the last beer of my dad that he never got to drink.
Oh.
So that, we keep that one special.
Yeah, that's just a very special beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? 4X Gold, it's kind of like someone made beer on the description of beer. Like
yeah.
Like someone described beer to someone and
they made it.
And it's like, honestly, I've had worse beers.
Oh, 100%. I actually quite like a 4X Gold. Like, if it's on tap and it's on sale, I'm like...
I've never had it on tap.
I'll have one.
I've only had it from a can.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. On tap is quite good.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're on wine. Yep. Now, this label looks like it's been designed by Picasso.
That is a quite nice label. It took me a while to realize it's a face.
Yeah, it is actually a face. It is really beautiful.
That's nice.
It really is.
Yeah.
Now, I could not find on the internet anywhere... that gives me any information about this brand.
You know why? It's because they're infamous.
Ooh, that's...
And they're a bit of a dodger.
Oi! The only thing I could find was on the Dan Murphy's website.
Ah.
So...
Well, why don't we crack the bottle and you can tell us more while you pour.
Well, sure, I can tell you more, but the notes literally just say, can't find any info, just read the label.
All right, well, why don't you crack it and then read it? Oh, that was a bit disappointing.
So you better be a better wine.
I mean, they're infamously dodging their cracking duties. Mm, that's for sure.
This is quite dark.
Yes.
It's a lot darker. Now, we just remember that we are drinking out of the same glass. So, again, it's the situation of whether it can beat out the previous one.
At the same time, that is exactly how it works at every winery I've ever been to. They just pour it in the same glass.
Yeah, and they're like, would you like some water just to put in there? I'm like, no, I've still got a drop of wine in there.
Sometimes they set up separate glasses. I've had that some wineries. But some they just like, there's your glass. All right, we'll just refill that with the next wine.
Yeah.
Now, hey, you know what, Jason? While we're letting this air, I just thought I'd mention something. Just because it's a nice thing to do. And I'm actually a little bit ashamed it got to the third episode before we did this. But
what?
We should probably mention that we're recording on Ghana land.
We are.
And, you know, we our respects recording. To the elders past, present, and emerging.
Yeah.
You know, and when it comes to that thing, I remember someone once saying to me, like, why do we bother doing this? Why do we bother, you know, acknowledging the traditional custodians and owners of the land? And when it comes down to it, you know, sometimes you say please, sometimes you say thank you. It doesn't cost anything to be polite.
No, it doesn't.
And it's a little politeness. And
thank you for letting us record on your lands.
Yeah. And hey, the past two episodes have also been recorded on Ghana land.
They have.
And now, do you know where this wine is from?
This wine is from, I would assume it was meant to be South Australia, but then I read the label because, like my notes said, read the label.
Hmm.
It just said it's bottled for Pinnacle Drinks in New South Wales.
Ooh, okay.
That is it. And then when I went to their website to find about the bottle, I couldn't find anything anywhere.
Now, Pinnacle, I do know something about. So my brother used to work for Dan Murphy's.
Yes.
Now, did you know if you work for Dan Murphy's, you get discounts on drinks from Pinnacle Group? And ooh. I think that's tied into Woolworths as a larger corporation.
There you go. Well, this Tempranillo...
Yes, you're getting that right.
Exhibits aromas of raspberry, black cherry, and hints of spice.
All right, don't go on. Let me smell it and see if I can smell any of those. All right, actually, I am getting the cherry.
Yeah, I'm getting some spice. You know what I think that would go really well with?
What?
Like a Moroccan food or like some Indian food.
Mm.
I think it'd go really well with like a naan korma and a korma or with some rice or something. Just a nice red. But now we've got to test it.
Yeah, we actually have to taste it, but... I'm getting the cherry in there, but I want to say that the cherry is... Have you ever had Dr. Pepper cherry?
Yeah, we talked about Dr. Pepper. We talked about Dr. Pepper on the first episode. But remember?
Maybe
when he wasn't quite a doctor and we just worked out he was a mister.
Yeah, Mr. Pepper.
Yeah, Mr. Pepper.
We talked about Mr. Pepper. But yeah, the cherry I'm getting is that artificial cherry. Have you had cherry Coke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like cherry Coke, though. I'm much more of vanilla Coke.
To be fair, having had Australian cherry Coke and also having had American cherry Coke, I think American cherry Coke is different. And I think it's the high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into this Tempranillo. That's thick. Like, with at least three C's.
The three C's? You're going the three C's?
Thick. Yep.
Thick.
Yeah, you got to pronounce the C's, man. Otherwise, how does anyone know they're there? You know how we know the ocean's thick? Because it's got seven C's.
That's actually good. I like that one.
Thank you. I'm ashamed of how proud I am of that. Well, so, what does this tasting notes have to say, Jason?
Well, it just says that it's these juicy red fruit flavors continue on the palate, leaving soft tannins on the finish. I would agree with that. I would agree that you taste it, and then as it lingers, it sort of mellows down a bit.
Mm.
But it does have what it's best paired with on here.
Ooh, what is it best paired
with? What does the audience think?
Okay, wait.
We'll do like a Dora Explorer. What do you think?
You already know, so you can make me play a game with this. You can make me...
Yeah.
How about I ask you yes or no questions? So I'm going to take a sip and...
Do you want me to do like intro music to the yes or no game? Like,
do you know the Jeopardy theme? I love Jeopardy.
No, but you can do the Jeopardy theme.
Well, not if I'm drinking.
I'm stumbling over my words. This is quite a few drinks. This is quite strong.
What's the content on that?
Well, the content is 14% alcohol. So this is our strongest one, and it's 8.3 standard drinks.
All right.
So I'll do an intro like do 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 game time.
I'm gonna make you watch Jeopardy. All
right. Okay.
It's much like friendlier. So yeah. Okay. Does it specify a meal or just like a type of meat?
That's not a yes or no question.
Okay. Okay. Does it specify a meal?
No.
Does it specify a type of meat?
Yes.
Is it from a land animal?
No.
No. So an animal that doesn't live on land?
No.
So it specifies a water animal?
No.
Chickens can't fly.
Well, I'm screwed then. My chickens out the back, they're going to be flying.
Well, I was going to say, like, I realized that I'd made a poor choice making a person who doesn't eat meat guess about meat.
I know where the different meats come from.
Yeah, but chickens can't fly.
Well, they might. If you ever put bigger wings on them.
That's not how wings work.
Oh, well, there's got to be some very upset chickens tomorrow.
Trust me, I've played enough...
I don't have any chickens.
I've played enough Kerbal Space Program to know that just putting bigger wings on shit doesn't make it work. In fact, it can make it worse.
Okay, well...
So it goes with the poultry?
No.
Does it go with waterfowl?
No.
Okay. Does it go with something that goes...
What is that? That was Pac-Man?
That was my turkey impression.
Your turkey... No.
Okay. I give up. Just
do you want me to just give you the sentence? Yeah, you're going to kick yourself because you pretty much got it on the first question, but I couldn't answer yes. Best enjoyed when paired with barbecued meats. So it's any meat.
Oh.
You're asking specifics, man.
Oh, okay.
It's any meat. And for me, it's any vegetable.
Any vegetable that you could...
Or mock meats. Which Veggie Delights does some great mock.
Actually, I have to say, when my wife and I have come to yours and had dinner with your wife and yourself, your tacos were pretty good, your fake meat. Do you remember that time I made the vegan nachos?
Yes, that was a big fucking load of nachos.
I only make foods in big quantities.
Oh, good.
But yeah, look, as much as I enjoyed it and as much as it was really good and like, I would describe it as being... close to the real thing, like, you know it's not quite... It's like when you have Pepsi, but you want a Coke.
Yeah.
Like, but it's still good.
Right? It's still good.
But you know what? Afterwards, you're used to a vegan diet. I'm not. Yeah. I farted every 5 seconds for the next 24 hours.
Yeah, that's what happens, because a lot of your diet is made with beans and lentils and dark leafy greens and things like that.
And so I'm sure your gut adjusts to that, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%. But you do tend to flatulate quite a lot.
Yes, well, I've also heard the same thing about red meat. If you eat a lot of red meat, apparently you fart a lot.
Yeah.
But it's beans, the musical fruit for me.
Yeah, that's
but look,
right.
A barbecued meat, it was interesting that that was the answer to this because my first thought was steak. And then I thought, no, not steak. Because I'm one of those weird meat eaters. I actually like pork more than steak.
Hey, and that's okay.
Yeah, that is okay. Hey, we're all human, right?
That's right. We're both human males, as we've clearly discussed.
Definitely not like, you know, three Oompa Loompas in a man suit. I actually thought like this would be better with something with like a thick sauce on it. And my first thought was like a barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever had the Jack Daniel's barbecue sauce?
Jack Daniel's. No, I haven't.
The Jack Daniel's barbecue sauce is quite good. And, you know, I'm glad that finally in Australia we're starting to get variety in barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid...
I love barbecue sauce.
I remember that my mum used to put barbecue sauce in her pie, but it was like the Master Foods barbecue sauce that came
but
in the same...
But to be honest, though, like, if someone hands you Master's barbecue sauce, you're still going to go... Yes, I've got barbecue
actually,
sauce.
Actually, no. Honestly, having had other barbecue sauces, the Master Foods barbecue sauce, it is the Nickelback of barbecue sauce.
Whoa. Okay, I can sort of see that. But still, if Master Foods is listening, I still enjoy your barbecue sauce. But there are some quite nice, like the Three Threes barbecue sauce.
That is a good sauce.
That is a very good sauce.
I also,
not vegan friendly. It's not a vegan friendly one because it has like seafood... thing in like
that,
a
that way you know
sauce.
That your wife isn't stealing any.
Yeah, exactly. See, I'm vegetarian, so it's fine.
So have you ever bought something that's vegetarian friendly but not vegan friendly just so that you can have it all to yourself?
Oh, 100%. I buy like a block of chocolate or I'll go get a pastry with chocolate in it. I'm like, awesome. I know this isn't vegan friendly, but as a vegetarian, I can have milk.
No, that's good. Now,
I don't
actually,
go out of my
one,
way
one,
for
one question I'm going to ask you. Now, your future child, who is of the female persuasion, I'm led to believe.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we don't know until
it comes out. Well, it could be completely wrong. No. And that's going to stuff up everything.
Hey, what if you have a dog instead? Wouldn't that be sick?
Yeah.
We could go to the dog park together, finally.
There you go.
Although, I'm sure Michaela will be like, I spent 9 months of pregnancy and...
I'm birthing a dog.
Like, that's his word. But hey... Dogs are great. And
yeah,
you know
exactly.
What? You know what? At 6 months, it will probably be able to shake. If it's a human baby, at 6 months,
it
it's
won't
not
be
able
to
shake. No.
No.
Now, with the baby, you're vegetarian, she's vegan. Are you going to raise it vegetarian or vegan?
Vegan.
Vegan?
Yeah. And then when she's old enough to start realizing what we're both eating, I will transition over as well, because I don't think it's fair that if I'm making my child eat something specific or, well... Not making, but I mean, when she's older, she can make her own decisions. Mm-hmm. And that's perfectly fine. But just in the household, this is how we will eat. If you want to go out to a party when you're older or you go out on your own, you eat what you want. But in our household, this is how we will present food.
Look, and, you know, if your future child and any other future children, I know you've mentioned both of you have twins in your lineage.
Yes.
So, you know, the next one
so there
might
could
be two.
Just, yeah, I could end up from wanting two to having three.
Yeah, look, so if when they're ready to try meat, send it to me. I do a bitchin' pork chop.
A bitchin' pork chop.
Not that you'll ever taste it.
For the listeners out there, Kieran does a bitchin' pork chop. I make a great tofu scramble, though.
What?
You're just like,
well, honestly,
mind blowing.
I actually don't think I've ever had tofu.
Yeah.
What is tofu?
It's like a soybean sort of mixture, and it's compressed. It's very... You can get different varieties. You can get ones that are softer, but we tend to go for the firmer one because there's less liquid in it.
Okay.
You're meant to dry them out. But I tend to not with the firm one because the firm one is just... It's got just that right amount of liquid in it that it breaks nicely and goes in a pan, and it gives that bit of texture to it.
Is it like a scrambled egg?
No, it's sort of... I don't know how to describe it, to be honest with you. It's like when you've fried it up as a scramble, it sort of looks a bit like mincemeat when you've cooked it. You know how like you chop it up in the pan and it comes out all crumbly? That's what it looks like.
Okay. Mm. But it's, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever had tofu. I remember reading something online once that, you know, I know that tofu comes in different flavors and you can get flavored tofus and stuff like that. I read once that in Japan there was a company that made human flavored tofu. For people who were interested in trying humans but weren't... like
didn't
want
to get in trouble for it.
No, and honestly, like, that's I'm a meat eater. I enjoy meat. I enjoy eating some strange meats as well. I've had buffalo. It's really nice.
Yep.
I've had crocodile. My wife's had yak.
There you go.
In Tibet. And look, I'm up for trying a bit of anything.
Yeah.
But the one thing that sounds to me is like, would I want to eat human meat? And the closest thing I think of that in some countries, I know you can have monkey. I'm actually kind of not game to eat monkey.
Oh, no way. And no way.
In the same way that, like, I know that kangaroo meat is a thing. And I know that, like, some people... Kangaroo is actually quite a healthy meat. It's, you know, lean and it's low in shitty things. But honestly...
Low in whatever else.
The reason that I don't want to eat kangaroo is because I've never seen a kangaroo farm. So, like, I've seen cows in a pasture. I've seen sheep. I've seen chicken in their environment. And I've seen pigs in their environment, and it's kind of like, well, yep, they, you know, they've had vaccinations, they've been inoculated against diseases, and they're prepared in a way, you know, to be culled for meat purposes. I know that it's, like, fine. Whereas I've only ever seen wild kangaroos. They're just fucking shooting a kangaroo in the middle of nowhere and saying, like, yep, let's put it in, like, one of the two coleses near where we live.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, you can just eat it in a sausage form. And because I've never seen a kangaroo farm, that's the main reason why I don't eat it. Also, the other reason I don't eat it is because it's shit.
On that note...
wrap up on this wine?
We shall wrap up on this wine. Infamous Dodger for a Tempranillo. I'm getting it right. Getting it right. You're not bad. Not bad. No, it is a lot stronger. I will definitely say, after a few sips, it's quite strong.
I'd say for a wine, it's thick. For a gravy, it's thin. That's how I'd put it.
I would definitely agree with that. But I can definitely see this being used with the barbecued meats, even though I'm not a meat eater, but I would definitely pair this with a lighter food.
You know, I've made my own barbecue sauce once, and I actually used whiskey. I used my favorite bourbon, Maker's Mark.
Ooh,
and fancy. That was good. But if I was ever going to make a barbecue sauce and use a wine,
this would be it.
This or something similar.
There you go.
Because let's face it, I've never heard of this brand before.
There you go. And out of the three wines, now that we're sort of wrapping up a little bit, what is your favorite? I know what mine is. I'm personally going to go with the Chapel Hill.
Okay.
Well, I like the Chardonnay, and as I've gotten older...
how old are you now?
20, almost 29.
Yeah, I mean, you were at my last birthday, so you know how old I am.
Yeah, he's 30. Oh.
Look, but yes, I can remember.
I really enjoyed this. I think it was a great wine. It's light, it's smooth, it can go with anything. And I would highly recommend Chapel Hill Chardonnay to anybody.
Well, look,
and I'm glad Ted. Yeah, we've had a couple.
Same name as my dog.
There you go. Ted from Dan Murphy's at Brickworks. You're a legend.
Did you take a photo of Ted for, you know, to go up on the site?
No, I didn't, but I will be leaving a very positive review of him. I don't often leave reviews, but he was great. He was really lovely. We had a chat after he finished serving me. Really great guy.
You know, I only ever leave reviews on Google Maps for dog parks.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah. Dog parks.
But I'm going to go against what I usually do.
Ooh.
As I said, I usually prefer a white wine, but for me today, the Shiraz.
The Shiraz.
The Shiraz from
Tread Softly.
Tread Softly. I was about to say Don't Tread on Me, which was a battle flag from the American Revolutionary War.
Well, we did talk about not treading on the ladybug.
No, but that was a great Shiraz. I think it's not too heavy. It's smooth. It goes down well. It would pair well with a lot of the things that I enjoy eating. But above all, I think I could enjoy it on its own.
Yeah.
Without needing it to pair with something. This Tempranillo, I can enjoy. In fact, I think that's one of the best things about all these wines. They stand alone well.
Oh, yeah.
And
they do. And that's what the surprising was. And you know what? I picked them on the label apart from Chapel Hill.
That was on the recommendation.
But
I think that's kind of the beauty to this podcast. Because when I picked the last round of beers, I picked them based on, like, I've never had these before.
Exactly.
And these are interesting.
So does that mean you're picking the next round of drinks? Is that how we're going to do it?
I think that's a fair way. Look, God forbid we start making money for this, in which case we get a production manager and then the company buys it for us.
The company. So if you'd like to subscribe or donate, we're not donating just yet. We're not receiving donations.
We don't have a Patreon, but we do have an OnlyFans.
I didn't realize we had set up, so it's going to be a complete shock to me when I get a paycheck.
You're never going to find the cameras in the house.
Great.
But anyway, I think that's a...
That's a good wrap on episode 3.
Yeah, and hey, well done to all the wineries there. So thanks to Tread Softly, Chapel Hill, and Infamous Dodger.
Yeah, so well done. Very good standalone wines, and we would highly recommend them.
Yeah. Anyway, for Drinkscussion, I'm Kieran.
And I'm Jason.
And happy drinking.